Hey there, welcome to the program's Gary Zimak here. Great to be with you on Blog Talk Radio once again as we look at the daily mass readings for Wednesday of the 19th week in Ordinary Time. We'll check in with Moses one more time. We'll get a final glimpse at Moses in our first reading. And then in our gospel, Jesus gives us some really good, kind of tough advice, but really good advice, which goes without saying. I mean, of course, Jesus is going to give us good advice. I am so glad you could join me on the program. We're also going to feature an interview that I did last week with Father Mark Mary from EWTN, from the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. Father Mark had some good advice talking about one of the Gospels of the day, so we're going to play that on today's show in addition to everything else. I want to thank you for being a regular listener of this program. Please remember that total consecration to Jesus through Mary will get started on September the 4th this year right here on this show. Details will be forthcoming, but one thing I will tell you is you will not need a book, so don't worry about buying a book. We're just going to do it here. I might use multiple books. I might stick to one book. I'm not 100% sure. As you can tell, I pretty much asked the Holy Spirit where I should go, and then we'll go from there. But we are going to start on September the 4th, which is Labor Day here in the United States. So hope you'll be able to join us for that. Right now, let's kick things off with prayer as we do each day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Thank you for establishing the Catholic Church built on the leadership of the apostles. And thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide that church and to guide each of us as we go about our daily business, trying to grow closer to you and to act and behave in a manner that would please you. Father, we ask you to give us strength to make it through the day. Give us the right, let us make the right choices in every situation. We pray for peace in the world, a world that's really become divided in so many ways. We pray for your peace, and we pray for an end to abortion. We lift up all of our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to bless them, and we pray for an increase in vocations. We lift up all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be, and ask you to handle them for us. And I ask you to speak through me on this program today. Please give me the wisdom and the guidance necessary to speak your message. And of course, open our hearts and our minds to that message that you have for us today. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I hope your day's going well. It's always good for me when I get to spend some time with you. My beverage du jour, I haven't really been focusing on this lately. I've got a rather plain beverage today. Here we go. Just a nice big cup of water. That's my beverage. Hope you've got a good beverage, a snack, and you're ready to get started looking at these mass readings. I'll tell you what. Today was a bit of a challenging day for me for a lot of reasons, but it's always nice when I get to unwind and just kick back and look at these daily mass readings. It's such a great way to let the Lord speak to me and to all of us through the pages of Sacred Scripture. So again, I appreciate the fact that you're here. I'm grateful for your financial donations to keep this show going forward. I'm grateful for your prayers. I'm grateful for your encouraging emails. I couldn't do this without you, so we've been doing this for a long time here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm grateful that you are here. I say it a lot. I really mean it, though. It's great for me to be here. I enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy the program as well. If you aren't here, there would be no program, so that's why I'm so grateful to you. Today's first reading looks at the death of Moses from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 1 through 12. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the headland of Pisgah, which faces Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead, and as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb, the circuit of the Jordan with the lowlands at Jericho, city of palms, and as far as Zoar. The Lord then said to him, "This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that I would give to their descendants. I have let you feast your eyes upon it, but you shall not cross over. So there in the land of Moab, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died as the Lord had said. And he was buried in the ravine opposite Beth Peor in the land of Moab. But to this day, no one knows the place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. For 30 days, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab till they had completed the period of grief and mourning for Moses. Now Joshua, son of Nun, were filled with the spirit of wisdom, since Moses had laid his hands upon him. And so the children of Israel gave him their obedience, thus carrying out the Lord's commands, the Lord's command to Moses. Since then, no prophet has arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He had no equal in all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh and all his servants, and against all his land. For the might and the terrifying power that Moses exhibited in the sight of all Israel. This is an interesting reading, because we look at the death of Moses. And of course, what's happening here is Moses did not get to actually lead the people into the promised land. He led them out of slavery. He got them pretty far, but it was actually Joshua who would lead the Israelites to freedom, to the promised land. Moses, at this point, died 120 years old. And I think if I had to take a message out of this first reading today, it would be that we're all called to do the Lord's work, whatever that may be. We're called to do the Lord's work, but it's not up to us to decide the effectiveness of our work. Ultimately, it comes up to the Lord. It's all about the Lord, whether or not our work will be successful. But our job is to do the best we can, to do the best we can with what we have been given, to spread, to plant seeds wherever we go. Whether or not we succeed, or to what level we succeed, isn't up to us. Ultimately, it's up to the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we get a little too involved, to the point where we get upset when people don't listen to us. We're going to see something in the gospel, some statements that Jesus made about fraternal correction, about correcting one another when it needs to be done. He mentions, he gives us the ground rules how this has to be done. We certainly don't want to do this in public. We want to do it really carefully. We want to do it out of love. A lot of times we start out with good intentions, but our pride can kick in, and we can end up correcting somebody in a manner that's not really done out of love, but rather out of pride. So again, we've got to be careful about how we do that. We want to do it for the right reasons, but we want to choose our moments carefully when we correct people. But when Moses died, his mission was over. We don't know whether the good we do will bear fruit or how much fruit it'll bear. Sometimes the Lord will let us know. Sometimes he won't let us know. But our goal in life should be to be faithful to God, and to try our best to go out there and plant those seeds. A lot of times when I do this show, when I do any of my radio programs or do television broadcasts, whatever it is, or give talks, I can't guarantee that everybody's going to be receptive to what I have to say and really act on it. I can't guarantee that. It's nice when I see that happen, but I don't always get to see the fruit of my labor. None of us do. It makes it more difficult to go out there and sow seeds if you don't know that it is bearing fruit. I mean, that's not right, but that's the way we operate sometimes. It's easier if I see, yes, people are receiving this message very warmly. That's good, and they're acting on it. That makes me feel really good. But there are times when I don't see that, but I need to go out and spread the word anyway. It's a challenge, but it's a challenge that we need to really rise to the occasion and continue to share God's word with those around us, whether or not they are receptive, whether or not they're even listening to us. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 66, "Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire. Shout joyfully to God all the earth, sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Bless our Lord, you peoples. Loudly bless his praise. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me when I appealed to him in words. Praise was on the tip of my tongue. Blessed be God who filled my soul with fire." I think most of us can trace back to that point in time when we realized, all right, I connected with the Lord. This is really cool. I need to continue to do this, right? I really need to go out and share the good news. You know, you get to that point where you decide, that conversion, if you will, I met the Lord, and now I need to go do something about it. I need to get off my rear end and go out and share the great news that he has given to us. The Lord has filled our hearts with fire at some point. And really, he should continue. He will continue to do that every day if we let him. Are we letting him do that? Are we letting him fill our hearts with fire? And are we going out and being passionate, evangelizing those around us? It can be challenging at times, but that's what we are called to do. Today's gospel comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or tax collector. Amen, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." A lot going on in this gospel. One theme that emerges is the power of the church, the fact that we should listen to the church when it comes to matters of faith and morals. We need a steady rock, if you will, a steady something or other. I can't think of the word other than rock. We need a guide, a steady guide to help us in the difficulties of life, especially when it comes to these moral issues. And that's where the church, founded by Christ, does such a good job with that. I need to sometimes open up my catechism of the Catholic Church and understand, or take a look at, what does the church teach about these moral issues, such as lying? Is it ever permissible to tell a lie? Is it ever permissible to get divorced? Is it, you know, birth control? What do I do? It's either going to be me making a decision, or look at the church and see what the church teaches. And I think that the church, guided by the Holy Spirit, the church guided by the Holy Spirit is a much safer bet than me making my own decisions. Yeah, I have the Holy Spirit in me, but I can make a wrong decision. The church, protected by the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to teach with authority. That's different. It's different. So I have to defer to the church sometimes. If the church hasn't ruled on a particular issue, well, then I'm free to make my own decision. But I need to be able to turn somewhere with certainty to know what it is that I am supposed to do in any number of different situations. And that's when you have the church. Now, the second part of that gospel reading is, what happens when somebody I know is headed down the wrong path, possibly doing something immoral, something that could put their eternal salvation in jeopardy? Well, if I care about the person, and I should care about the person, especially if it's somebody really close to me, somebody whom I may have some influence over, what am I doing to help that person? Am I pulling that person to the side and saying, hey, listen, I think you're headed down the wrong path. What you're doing is not right, and I really think you should think twice about that. Now, in some cases, that requires a lot of prudence. I need to say something, but when do I say something and where do I say something? We don't just want to blurt it out while we're on the street or there's other people around. It might be a close friend. It might be a spouse. It might be a child. It might be a parent. When do I make it known that what I think you're doing is wrong? It's harmful. It goes against what the church teaches. You still might get met with resistance, but I have a duty to do that in certain cases. What you're doing, I think, is what you're doing, the church teaches, is wrong. You better be careful because I'm concerned about you. Do it in private, though. You don't want to do it in public. And again, you look to the church and see what the church is teaching about this, and then you're able to, with certainty, say what you're doing is not right, and I'm concerned about your salvation. It's not going to be a fun conversation, but if you really care about somebody, sometimes that conversation has to be held, but you don't do it in public. You do it in private, in a loving manner, and you pray while you're doing it. You pray before, during, and after the conversation, especially if it's a difficult one. So this is the message today. And again, you look at what happened with Moses. He was faithful to the Lord. He did what he was supposed to do. And the Lord said, you're not going to lead the people into the promised land. It was sort of a punishment for Moses disobeying in certain cases. But, you know, if you're a faithful servant and you're following the Lord and you're really trying to serve him, it really shouldn't matter. I know it does sometimes, but it really shouldn't matter how he uses us. Long as I'm faithful to him, that's what really counts. So pray about that and see what the Lord wants you to do today. Take a look around. Do you have anybody in your life, maybe somebody in your own home, who needs to be told something? Pray about direction. How do I do it? What's the best place? And then pray for wisdom to say the right thing, and pray for the ability to remain calm if they attack you, because that will happen sometimes. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Father Mark Mary from EWTN. He's one of the Franciscan missionaries of the Eternal Word. He'll be joining us to share some insights from a previous interview that I recorded on Spirit in the Morning. I think you'll find it interesting. I'll be back to wrap things up at the end of the show. You're listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. AARP Magazine cites studies showing that dogs can help your fitness efforts. The article states, dog owners who routinely take their pooches for strolls get an extra hour of activity per week. Also noteworthy, the oldest dog walkers, those age 65 plus, walk their dogs longer than any other age group. Dogs have a way of making their needs known, and as such, they might offer us the needed motivation to get moving. If you don't have a dog or can't manage one full-time, maybe you can volunteer at a shelter or offer to walk a friend's dog. But caring for any kind of pet can have beneficial effects. Be open to the healing aspects of life with all of God's creatures. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
We are joined right now by Father Mark Mary from the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. Father joins us today. Now, in the past, we have had Father Leonard on the program. We've had Father Joseph on. We've had Father John Paul on. But I have a feeling that Father Mark is going to be the best friar that we've had on so far. How about that, Father Mark? No pressure.
Well, I think you tell all the friars that.
Hey, Father, I really thank you for being on with us today on the show. I know it's early there, but thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I wanted to ask you, now I read the gospel as I do each day on the program. Today's gospel is, I think, one of the more challenging ones, and I wanted to get some of your thoughts on the Canaanite woman coming to Jesus, asking for help for her daughter. And Father, I thought it was interesting that the first thing we are told is that Jesus did not say a word to answer her. Don't you think that would have been discouraging for many people? Like, why isn't he answering?
Right. I think, it seems like there's a lot of interpretations of this site.
Yeah.
I like to look at it that he's, that's true for a lot of us. You know, we don't get immediate answers to our prayers, and sometimes I think he's purifying us. He's maybe allowing us to grow in some virtues of patience and faith, you know, and perseverance, you know, to keep asking, and humility, you know, that we seem like we get in places where we cling to him more intensely. You know, we don't get an immediate answer. Yeah. And I think, I've seen in my own life, too, that he wants us, you know, obviously to seek his will and to trust him. And sometimes he can bring us to that space, to that place, through long-suffering prayer. And so finally we kind of say, okay, Lord, whatever you want. Your will is the best thing.
Right. Right. And I also thought it was interesting that the disciples tried to discourage her or tried to get Jesus to send her away. I like this, Father. They said, send her away. She keeps following after. She keeps calling out after us. If I was Jesus, I would have said, what's this us stuff? She's calling out after me, not us. Right? but we do meet, right, Father? Sometimes we meet with people who discourage us or discourage us from praying, saying that you're not being realistic.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Certainly the secular world thinks we're wasting our time or whatever, and we're, especially in America, you know, we're all about getting things done and standing on your own 2 feet and being self-sufficient, independent, and I think that's a lesson for all of us to depend on Jesus and, you know, not just to be following after our own solutions, but to seek his will and to ask. And what I like about that, too, is that, you know, the apostles or disciples here are, you know, they're shown, we see their flaws and their faults in the gospel,
right,
you know, all the time. And, you know, this is not some hagiography of the saints that puts it out of touch from us, you know?
Right.
We see the reality of these people, their weaknesses and everything. And I think that gives a legitimacy to the gospel. And, you know, they're not written to make this church look great, these guys, you know, that this church is clearly not a product of these men. You know, they're weak men, denied the Lord and everything. It depends on the grace of Christ. And so he's at work. You know, because if the church was just coming up with these stories, I would write it to make myself look better. You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sure.
I agree. Yeah. And they certainly don't. And I think that gives me a lot of comfort. I look at the apostles and I think, wow. If these guys never got anything, as Mother Angelica said so many times, they never understood anything, and yet the Lord chooses them to build a church upon. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah. They never were catching any fish by themselves, or understanding, you know, for fishermen, so full of weaknesses.
Yeah, yeah. Father, I think one of the most challenging statements in this gospel, it's like a slap in the face. When Jesus said to the woman in reply, after saying nothing, he said to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Sounds nasty. What exactly is going on there?
Yeah, it is. I think that is kind of hard to understand because, like, you know, different gospels there have different emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Luke emphasized him going to the Gentiles, the universality of, you know, the gospel is meant to, you know, that's what Jesus did to open up these covenantal promises to all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see that in, I think, Luke's gospel more clearly. And Matthew, you know, emphasizes Jesus as the new Moses, as the fulfillment of the revelation to Israel. And so I think that's the emphasis here, is that he is, you know, he came from the people of Israel. He's Jewish, and he's come to fulfill the law, fulfill, you know, all these promises made to them.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, you have the Great Commission, the Great Sending Out that Jesus has always meant for everyone. And that's, you know, that's what he does, right? He gives this woman what she wants, and she's not a Jew. And so, you know, he really is meant for everyone.
Yeah, and she, the fact, this really impresses me, she was persistent. And the gospel states that she came and did him homage, saying, Lord, help me. She kept asking. She kept asking for help. She didn't give up. I would have gone away by this time, Father. I mean, the apostles are trying to get rid of me. Jesus said this. I would say, okay, that's it. Sorry I bothered you. You know, but she kept going.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the lesson, is that we all have to be faithful to prayer, to persevere in prayer. He praises her at the end of the passage here, you know, woman, great is your faith. So,
yeah,
you know, in putting her off, she is made to be an example. And I think, you know, as we struggle and, you know, asking for God's grace and everything, we are transformed too. As I said, I think our motives, our hearts, are purified to seek him alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, even when we're granted healings or miracles, you know, the person we're praying for, ourselves, we're still going to die, you know?
Right, right.
It's not an ultimate solution here. And they're still suffering. But he's working an even greater miracle of faith in us to cling to him, to seek his will, to put him first, and to purify our motives towards him.
Because a lot of times our motives might not be as pure as we think they are, right? Or we might be a little more proud than we realize.
Right. And I think St. Augustine talked about, you know, unanswered prayer can, you know, the Lord can be stretching our heart because he wants to fill it even more.
Mm. Right.
You know?
Right.
If I kind of get my toys and run away, you know, my heart stays small. But if I'm always seeking and my heart is enlarged, then he can enter into me in a deeper way.
Right. And ultimately, her wish was granted, and Jesus praised her faith. So I think there's a great lesson in this gospel. Father, I really want to thank you for pointing it out. And I also want to say we have about 1 minute left. Thank you for agreeing to do this segment on Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio. I know you're the guy who gave the go-ahead, and I really do appreciate it. We're so grateful to have you as part, and the Friars
yes,
as part
are.
Of the program. So thank you for that.
Thank you. No problem. And it's also the memorial of Edith Stein today.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Great saint. We went to see Auschwitz and Birkenau, and where she was put to death at Auschwitz, I think, in an incredible story. And she would say that love makes sacrifice, suffering, love makes the cross fruitful. Mm. It's such a powerful lesson.
It sure is. It sure is. Thank you for mentioning that. Father, before you go, would you please leave us with a blessing?
Sure. May Heavenly Father shine his face upon you and give you his peace. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
All right, amen. Father Mark, Mary, I have to say, you were the best friar so far. Just don't tell the other guys I said that. Father, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 18:15, Jesus speaks of fraternal correction. If your brother sins against you, tell him his fault privately. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along as witnesses. Such persons are called in for their objective input, not to convict, but to convince the sinner of his fault. Only in the last resort must the matter be brought to official notice, for the sake of the individual and the community as well. Often we hear the entreaty, "Do not judge lest ye be judged," but no one is asserting another's state of soul here. We do no one any good by refraining to correct simply for the sake of keeping the peace or avoiding another's displeasure with us. Such is not the way of love. This applies to society, the diocese, the parish, and our own families. It makes us consider just how much we really love one another. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening tonight. I am just about out of time. I want to thank Father Mark for appearing tonight, courtesy of Spirit in the Morning. God willing, I'll be back tomorrow to talk to you again, to look at the daily Mass readings. Please continue to keep us in your prayers and to spread the word about this program. God bless you. Have a great night. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.